Hello, folks. This is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Sunday morning Sunday school lesson. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day.
Did you bring a Bible? Should have. You're going to need it. Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. Let me ask you a question. Something to think about in the times we are living in right now. What is God's view of money? Rose has got a handful of it in her hand right there. What is God's view of money? Huh? What do you think? God's view of money. The root of the love of money is the root of all evil. How many of you believe the Bible? Now, this is actually one of the 4,985 things that separate the King James from the newer translations. The newer translations relegate the love of money to a root of all evil. King James says it is the root of all evil. That's the one I'll pick. Amen. It's the one I believe. Stop and think about it. And I teach this, and we're going to see this in the text this morning. Is why I'm bringing all this up. Two contrary spirits running throughout the Scriptures. Okay, one of them is the Holy Spirit of God that leads you to righteousness, leads you into all truth. The Holy Spirit of God brings spiritual sobriety. Okay, and physical sobriety. Okay. The Holy Ghost of God will cause you to stand in the evil day. There is another spirit. It's called Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I've brought this up before. But what is it about... why do harlots do what they do? It's for money. Okay, it's in exchange of some sort of financial or material gain. And so just kind of ponder that. There are women, I don't know, the old phrase used to be gold diggers. I don't know what they call them now, but that some young gals are just looking for some rich guy. Don't care how old he is or how good looking he is. As long as he's got money and as long as he'll give them good things, that's who they'll look for in life. But I want you to understand, good morning. I want you to understand this concept that you see all through the Scriptures. There was a situation where, Elisha, the prophet, when Naaman came to him and said, you know, I need to be healed, and here's all these presents and gifts and all this good stuff I have for you. Elisha said, don't do that. I don't take that. That was the right spirit of God. His servant, Gehazi, as soon as Naaman got healed, rode off after him and said, oh, hold on a second. My master's had a change of heart. He has. And, you know, if you could just leave some of that with me, I'll be sure that he gets it. And if you remember the story, Gehazi ended up with the exact same leprosy that Naaman was cleansed of. Spiritual things and money don't go along very well. They don't get along. You cannot serve how many masters? Two. You'll either love the one and hate the other. You'll hold to the one and you'll despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, which is money. You can't do it. It's impossible. Okay? You might think that you can serve both. Okay? But the truth of it is you're only serving one in the right way. And so anyway, I brought all that up. In Acts chapter 19, let's pick it up in verse 21. Anytime, boy, and get this. I mean, this gets to one of the core doctrines of the Scripture. Okay? Number one, you believe God is God. Say amen. Amen. You believe Jesus Christ is His Son. Say amen. Amen. He died on the cross. Amen. As a substitution for your sins. Amen. Rose on the third day. Amen. The Bible is the inerrant, inspired Word of God. Amen. Salvation is free. With no price. The price that was attached to salvation has already been paid. Amen? Who in here has ever been given baseball tickets or hockey game tickets or anything like that? Okay, you've been given tickets? Did you go to the game? Okay. You get the free tickets, you go to the game, walk up to the stadium, and hand them the ticket, and they'll say, now there'll be a $30 charge on each one of these tickets because you didn't pay for them. Is that right? No, that's not right. Once something has been paid for, it's not right to make somebody pay for it again. Are you listening to me? It's not right. Okay? We must have a 200-pound mouse back there. If somebody's moving stuff around back there. Anyway, here's my point. In a religious setting, and I don't care what kind of setting it is, when there is the exchange of money as a requirement for giving out the benefits of the religion, that's wicked, and that's Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. Okay, that's exactly what that is. When the Roman Catholic Church sells indulgences, that's wicked. They're selling something that God has already bought and paid for, and it's free. It's not right. In just about every religion, you have to give the shaman or the witch doctor or the priest or whatever it is, you have to give them sums of money or blessings or benefits or something like that in order to get something out of it. When Peter and John, at the beginning of the book of Acts, when they went to when they saw the man that was lame in the temple and he was begging for money, Peter and John laid their eyes on him and they said, "Peter, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I what? Give to thee." Didn't sell it. Gave it to him. And so anyway, I want you to think about what spirit is in control of the world right now as far as our financial systems. Let me ask you this question. What do you think is going to be the end result of all the financial problems that the United States is having, that European nations are having, that practically every country in the world is having serious financial problems? Where do you think this is all headed? Huh? Depression? What about what's beyond the depression? There you go. Okay? Lady's got a brain. Okay? It's about control of the money at the top. Okay? It's control at the top. And this is the trend that we're seeing in just about every system in life right now. It's about consolidating control. I'm sort of troubled. You know, when they passed this debt relief bill, okay, that this new law actually created what they're calling a super Congress. It's 12 men who sit above everything else, and they're the ones who are going to make the final decisions on how things are going to go. Did you know that I got an email from a guy, Germany is doing something that is almost identical to this right now. How is that these two nations all end up with the same solution? Okay, it's about control at the top. And at some point, you know, everybody's, the dollar right now is the currency of trade. Everybody trades the dollar. When oil is sold, I don't care where it is in the world, they're using American dollars to sell that. And now they're saying, let's not use the dollar anymore. Well, if that happens, it's going to stink to be an American, I can tell you that. Okay? But anyway, that's the end result of it, and I want you to understand the spirit that is controlling that. Her name is Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And she controls the money system, and I'm going to show you this from the Bible here in just a minute, as soon as I get done gabbing, all right? Acts chapter 19, verse 21, you've been there for 15 minutes. After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. Now watch this in verse 23. And at the same time, there arose no small stir about that way. I love when the Bible is referring to what we're doing and the way and how we're walking as the way. The way, the way, the way. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. So there's a stirring about the way that Paul is preaching about and the gospel that's being preached. Because here Paul is preaching a gospel that is free. Paul's not walking into every town getting money out of everybody that he can get money out of. Okay? I was warned by my insurance agent when we had that hailstorm. He said, find somebody local that's got a reputation that's going to be around. He said, what happens? He said, these fly-by-night operations, when they find out where the storms are, they move in, they set up a big tent, they do estimates, they write you a check on the spot, and they'll make you a good deal, and they'll get your car fixed, and they'll say they'll guarantee it. The problem is, you don't know where they're going to be 3 months from now. And he said, what they do is they just go from town to town to town, place to place to place, getting everybody's insurance money out of it. Okay? And this is not what Paul's doing. Paul is not going from place to place to place, rounding up everybody's money, getting everybody's social security check, getting everybody's money from them. He's not doing that. He's preaching a gospel to them that will not only set them free, but it is free. And it costs nothing. And he's not wanting their money. This automatically represents a threat to those who are selling to say, I mean, stop and think about it. If you set up some kind of roadside stand somewhere selling something next to the guy, or giving something away next to the guy that's selling it, he's not going to like you being there. Amen? He'll do whatever it takes to get you out of town because you're ruining his business. And here Paul comes in offering the grace of God absolutely free. And the boys who set up the shops there in town, they don't like this. Watch what happened. Verse 24, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith. What does a silversmith do? He made silver shrines for Diana. You want to take a wild guess at who Diana is? It's not Wonder Woman. Well, maybe it is. Wonder Woman was based on that. Okay? Diana is Ashtaroth of the Old Testament. Okay? Diana is the Queen of Heaven. Stop thinking about that. Next time you drive past a Roman Catholic church that says, Mary Queen of Heaven Catholic Church, they're telling you who they really worship inside that church. That was one of the titles given to Diana, or Venus, or Ashtaroth, or Isis of the Egyptians, or any of the other 100 names that she's been given around the world. Just about every culture has a religion that has a goddess in it, and almost always she is a fertility goddess. Okay? And she is worshipped in unspeakable ways. Everybody get my drift? She is worshipped, even publicly, in unspeakable ways. They believe by doing their little rituals at certain times of the year that that's going to make the ground productive and they'll get good crops is what it is. Okay? But anyway, and this is the thing that when God sent the Israelites into the land of Canaan, He said, don't look at their images, burn them, tear down their houses, their temples, get rid of all of it. I don't want you learning that religion because your flesh is going to like it. And so anyway, that's who that is. They made silver shrines for Diana. Diana is Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. That's exactly who she is. She is the goddess. Okay? You might know who Tony Jones is. You probably don't know this name. Tony Jones is one of the emerging church leaders. He's one of these hipster preachers. Okay? He looks cool. He does not look like me, I guarantee you. He looks cool. He's got one of these cool churches, and he's got the cool new theology now about God. And he wrote a blog or a tweet on Twitter here a while back, and he called God a she. Okay? His mind's messed up. He's worshiping the wrong God. Can I hear you say amen? He's really worshiping Diana. By his statement, he's just confessed who he's worshiping. Okay? So anyway, that Demetrius, a silversmith, made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen. You can sort of see Demetrius as sort of being like the head of all the smiths in this area, the silversmiths and the goldsmiths, and maybe even brass or whatever. All the craftsmen, the Bible says. He's kind of like the big dog. He's the head of the syndicate over all these. And if anybody's got money to lose or money to gain, it's Demetrius. And here's Paul coming in, preaching a free gospel and free grace and giving away salvation. And here's Demetrius, who has made a fortune selling idols, selling trinkets, selling religious junk. Amen? And that's what it is. It's religious junk. Verse 25. Whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, Sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but now listen how spiritually he's going to stand. Okay? But also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia, and notice this, and the world worshipeth. He had it right. Every civilization in the world has worshipped a female deity, and almost always she is a fertility deity. She's worshipped because of a woman's ability to produce life. That's why she's worshipped. And so he's laying it out now. He sounds like a politician. He sounds like a politician that's going to appeal, number one, to the financial deals of people's minds. He's also going to appeal to their religion. And I want to warn you right now. We're running into an election year, and the hype is already juiced up. Okay? How many times have we been sold a bill of goods by quote-unquote Christian politicians? Practically every time. We've been handed a bill of goods. We've been sold the island of Manhattan. Okay? We've been sold a bunch of junk by quote-unquote politicians who invoke the name of God and then who say, we're going to get you jobs. Now you stop and think about this for a minute. The government has never produced an honest job in its existence. However, the American worker and the American businessman has produced honest jobs. Okay? And you follow, you know how they tell you follow the money? You watch this. Okay? They tax you and your income, and every time a dollar moves out of your hand, the government taxes it somehow, some way. Am I right? So they take your money, put it in the federal coffers. Then your politician slides in an amendment to a bill somewhere. It's called pork barrel spending. You ever heard of that? He slides in an amendment to a bill somewhere, getting, let's say, $3 million of federal money to be sent back to your area for road improvements or this and that and the other. He then comes back after the bill's been passed. Nobody ever knew that thing was in there. They just voted it through. And he comes back now to our area, stands on a big thing behind a microphone, and pats himself on the back because he brought jobs and money to this community. Stupidest thing that I've ever... I mean, you stop and think about it. We had the money to begin with. They pulled it out of our pocket, took it up to Washington, D.C., and then he turns around and brings some of it back and was congratulated for it. But I'm just telling you, watch these politicians who in the election years all of a sudden are born again Christians. Obama would have never got elected had the American public known that he was going to go over to the Middle East and bow down to the Muslims. He would have never gotten elected. Hopefully he would have never gotten elected. But he billed himself as a Christian to get elected in this country. And the truth of it is he hasn't been to church since he became president. However, he just had a Ramadan feast-ending dinner at the White House. Okay? And I'm just telling you, watch out for the politicians, number one, who are going to tell you, oh, we're going to bring jobs to this community. We're going to bring money back from Washington. We're going to do this, and I promise you that everything that you're getting from the government is going to increase tenfold, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to work for you, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. They're going to slick you up with money, number one, and number two, they're going to make you feel good by making you think that they're really religious. And you watch that crowd. Can I get an amen out of somebody so I don't think you're all mad at me? I think I heard a louder amen from the people on the internet, all right? No, I'm just kidding.
Amen.
There you go. Okay? What are they going to do? Once they take all of our money, Roy, where are they going to send your job? Down to Mexico. Anyway, you listen to his speech. You listen to him talk. Okay? And, boy, I tell you, I'm fixing to get it. I'm fixing to get it. Okay? And I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm about to say. Okay? I'm going to sound like a politician. I'm for the working man. Okay? But I'm going to tell you something about trade unions. They're as corrupt as everything else is in this nation. And Demetrius, if you read this text, he's the head of the union. He's the head of the guildsmen here. Okay? And here he is. He is opposing the gospel. Number one, money is his biggest objection to the gospel. And I'm telling you, it's not right. Can I hear an amen out of somebody? I'm not against belonging to a union. I'm not against any of that. But I'm telling you that at the heads of businesses, they're corrupt. And at the heads of the unions, they're corrupt. Choose your corruption. Huh? Flip a coin. But if you just read this, you read this text, Demetrius is the head of the guild in this area. And he's going into protection mode. And he wants Paul run out of town. He wants anybody that is in opposition to him making more money out of the way. Okay? And they're always going to work behind the scenes. They will listen to this now. You're going to read this story. They do not want to work through the law. They don't want to go around it. And I'm going to show you that here in a minute. Whew. Man, I'm going to get in trouble. I just know why I am. I love the truth, people. I do. I want to know what it says. I want to know what's right. And I want to tell you something. I started studying the Sabbath day from the Scriptures this week. I learned some things this week. And I'm going to preach some things that you hadn't heard preached in a long time. Okay? I'm going to preach some things that I have not preached and you have not heard preached in a long time. Okay? And that you just fasten your seat belts. Okay? After Sunday school, go just get you a drink of water and relax for a few minutes, all right? How many of you want God's ways in your life? Say amen.
Amen.
You really want God's ways in your life. But listen, God has a way that is so totally foreign to us that we almost don't recognize it anymore. We tend to think as Americans that the American way is always the right way. And I'm here to tell you that it's not. And I love America. I love this country. But some of our ways are not right. And there are multiple reasons why we are in the shape that we are in this country. And greed is number one. Greed from the pulpit and greed from the American worker and greed from the businessman is the reason. The love of money is what? Telling you, this Bible's right. How many of you believe that as Americans that we could live on about a third less than what we're pulling in right now? How many of you honestly, I believe it. And in fact, I'm going to tell you how it works. When my wife, she was working for an insurance company. And this was about, when did she come to work here? Somewhere around 98, 99, in the mid-90s. She was pulling down $50,000 a year plus the benefits. I mean, we had the health insurance. She had everything. And I was just drawing a little salary. She was the major breadwinner in our home. Okay? And I was just pulling this little salary from the church. I didn't care. Okay, it didn't matter to me. We were taking vacations and bought her a nice new car to go to work in and this, that, and the other. And God began to deal with her about quitting that job and coming here to work in our school for $250 a week. And she came to me with it and she said, I think God wants me to quit there. And it was real funny because she brought it up. She said, every time I feel that way, they give me a big raise up there. And she had just found out that they were giving her a raise, Jim, that was retroactive to the beginning of the year. And this was August. She was not only get a raise in her weekly salary, but they were going to lump it up and write her a check that went all the way back to January. And she came to me and she said, I think God's telling me to quit. And you know, I'm a good husband. Well, honey, that decision is yours and you pray about it. And I remember, Gary, where I was. I was walking up the steps here, coming to my office, and I got halfway up and the Holy Ghost smote me. And He said, you coward and you're full of greed. That I gave that woman to be yours. And you're the head of the house. And you've been telling her it's her decision, and it's not. It's yours. Make the decision. Well, I didn't go in my office. Okay? I came in here. And I prayed and I repented. And when I had peace, I went to her and I said, God's got me now. And I want you to show up Monday and give your 2-week notice. And she did. She lost all that money. She lost everything. Okay? She came here to work for $250 a week. The day that I kid you not, the day that she quit, her last day, she comes pulling in here and says, where's your van? And I said, transmission went out on it. And I had to walk over here and it's being towed and fixed. Okay, and that was an $1,100 bill. And I said, Lisa, it doesn't change anything. This is what God told us to do. And we learned how to go from making this much money to this much money. Okay? We learned how. And I'm here to tell you, the Bible says, be content with such things as ye have. You know what that means? That means don't break the 10th commandment. Covetousness is the opposite of contentment. Contentment with godliness is what? Great gain. And I'm here to tell you that the American way is not always the right way. The American way says, let's pile it on, buddy. Let's make as much money as we can. Let's get filthy, stinking rich. And I haven't even got into... Let's go here. Go to Revelation 18. I'm going to show you the spirit. I'm going to show you what's driving the commerce of this world right now. And why they're allowing... They're both promoting the debt and allowing the debt so that the economy will crash so that they can come. How many of y'all believe that? How many believe there's wicked people out there that's so wicked that they will let everybody else burn so that they can make more money? So that may not, that we may not be able to, I think most of y'all got a conscience. And you pull up from, you go drive off from McDonald's with an extra dollar in your pocket because they gave you the wrong change, and you've got a conscience. You'll turn around and go back and give it to them, and they'll just look at you and go, over a dollar. I did that one time. God burnt me. You know what He did, Brady? It was at the DeSoto McDonald's, and the two drive-in windows, and I ordered the hamburger. And I gave them a $5 and she gave me change for a $10. So she gave me $5 too much. And I'm going, I've got $5 now. And God made me stop and wait between those two windows. And I waited and I waited and I waited and I waited and I waited. And God was saying, guess what? Guess what? Guess what? And finally I went, okay! I'll give it back! And I took the $5 and finally the line moved. I pulled up and I said, here. And they went. See, most of y'all got a conscience. There's people who are running the show that don't. Their love of money is the root of all the evil that's going on in this world right now. Mark it down. Let me get to this, Jimmy, real quick. I'm sorry. Let me get to this, okay? Revelation 18, verse 11. This is concerning what's going to happen to Babylon. What's going to happen to the harlot? What's going to happen to Diana? We're seeing it in live form in the book of Acts, chapter 19. You're seeing a live demonstration of this, okay? When Babylon gets threatened, the merchants come out. You look at this. Revelation chapter 18, verse 11. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, crying, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. That is exactly what Acts chapter 19 is getting at. That's why Demetrius is standing up there. Mystery Babylon's got him propped up there, moving his mouth, saying, boys, it's going to get bad if we let Paul come in here and preach that free gospel. Why, we're not going to make $1,000 a day anymore. We're not going to be able to make our bills. Bunch of nonsense. Amen. You know what ruins most companies? High overhead. You know what high overhead is? It is the appearance of wealth inside of a corporation or company that is not sustainable because probably that overhead has been bought on debt. Okay? Amen. Oh my goodness. You know what made America strong? Number one, the farmer, the man who worked with his hands, and the small business owner. Small business owner. You know why small business owner? Because they don't have all the overhead. And they didn't need to make $1 million every month. They had a little grocery store, they had a little knick-knack store, they had a little fix-it shop. They were making little money, pay for their expenses, pay for their rent, and put a little money in their pocket so they could live off of it. And that's their America that a lot of you used to remember. Am I telling the truth? That America is out the door. Okay? But anyway, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones, of pearls, and fine linen, and purple, and silk, and scarlet. You know what I don't see here? Pinto beans and cornbread. Amen? Now, how many of you love beans and cornbread? Say amen. Amen. See, that's common man's diet. That's working man's diet, isn't it? And a working man couldn't afford silk, and purple, and fine linen, and scarlet, and pearls, and gold, and silver. Okay? And all fine wood and all manners of vessels of ivory and manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass and of iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointment and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and what? You get my picture here? In Revelation 18, there's something here. Where is it? Oh, okay. Look at verse 3. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her, what? Delicacies. I looked that word up. You know what it means? Delightful. A delicacy is a delightfulness or the quality of being addicted to sensuous pleasures. Okay? Being addicted to the finer things of life. Once you get a taste for them, it's hard to go back. Once you get a taste for, I mean, really, really fine food, it's hard to go eat a bologna sandwich. Amen? But I can tell you there ain't a thing wrong with eating a fried bologna sandwich. Amen? I mean, blackening on both sides. Amen? There's nothing better than that. Amen, Jimmy?
That's right.
Okay? So stay out of them nice restaurants and you'll just enjoy bologna. Okay? But see, here we've gotten in this country, we've gotten used to all this fine living, this fine food. I'm telling you, I've been out of here and I've come back and we have the best standard of living of any nation in the world. But we've gotten used to it. We've gotten used to the delicacies. And we don't know how to live and eat and survive like our grandma and grandpa did, who ground their own corn and made cornbread and had cornbread every day. Cornbread and a little milk. A little unpasteurized milk right out of a cow. which the government says, that'll kill you. Stupidest thing I ever heard of in my life. Amen. But we've gotten used to this stuff, and Mystery of Babylon is running the show here. How many of you believe it now? Say amen. And when she is threatened, she'll pull out all the stops. Okay? And so she's got Demetrius, the silversmith. She's got him all propped up. And he is going to make sure now that this threat to their business is quickly dealt with. Let's go back to verse 28, Acts chapter 19. Can I be honest with you about something? I hate to admit this. One of the problems that I had in going to Kenya was getting used to the lifestyle. Okay? When we finally left Western Kenya, we could not get back to quote-unquote civilization fast enough. We were looking for pizza. Okay? I mean, we wanted the good food, something that we were used to. And it was really working against me, was living a lifestyle that these people were fine with. Living a lifestyle that was less than what I was used to. Okay? And it was starting to bother me a little. I finally kind of settled in a little bit, and, you know, I could probably go back and not have near the hang-ups that I did. But I'm just telling you, we get used to this stuff, and we don't know. We think we can't live without it. Especially, and I'll tell you something: our children. We're raising our children right now in a world that, I mean, they're given all the nicest things in the world. See this barn out here at the end of our parking lot? You know what we do with that? We put all these clothes that we don't wear anymore. I found them. Didn't we find them? Most Kenyans, especially the ones out in the country, are wearing the secondhand clothes of Americans. It's what they're wearing. They're wearing the crumbs that we've scraped off the table, and happy to get it. Okay? Boy, tell God thank you. Amen. Was that the bell? Let me do this real quick. Verse 28. When they heard these things, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." And I want you to look at verse 29. Boy, this is telling. This will tell you what spirit. The whole city was full with what? I want to tell you something. You mark it down. Any place where the Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God is, there's order. There's order. I stood there with Pastor Olo. We were looking over the Great Rift Valley. This was our real first introduction to a Kenyan toilet. Right? First time, it was just a hole. Okay? We were looking out over the Great Rift Valley. Up on a mountainside looking over this beautiful, beautiful, fertile valley that goes down the middle of Kenya. And you could see little farms. You could see that they were growing corn and they were growing this and that and the other. You just see it for miles. And then you see little patches of woods and patches of weeds, this, that, and the other. I said, "Pastor Olo," I said, let me give you some wisdom. I said, "Can you look out over this plain and tell me the difference between what man has planted and what Mother Nature's planted?" And he said, "Yeah, right there, there's a farm." And he said, "You can tell." I said, "How can you tell?" He said, "It's all in rows." I said, "It's exactly right. When man plants a vineyard or an orchard or a garden or a farm or even flowers, he puts them in order. Am I telling you the truth?" Okay? I've never been to an orchard. We went out picking peaches last week. Them trees are just in a perfect row. Okay? And yet you can always tell where man has stopped planting and nature's just taken over, can't you? Because it's everywhere. And I want to say this. In a church, let all things be done in order. And in a church, you can tell where God is. Because there's an order there. Okay? And I'm not saying we rigidly follow everything that the bulletin says we do. Okay? But you can clearly tell the difference when you go into some other churches. And you can see the disorder all throughout. Am I right? That, listen, that ought to tell you what spirit is there. Mystery Babylon is always going to bring confusion. Everywhere she is, there will be confusion. Okay? You want the right spirit on you? When God's Holy Spirit is on you, things will start getting in order. Amen? Things will start getting in order in your life. Anyway, I love the Bible. I do. I love the Bible, and it's right. And a lot of times we're not. And let's just get back to the Bible in our lives. Amen? Now you pray for me. I'm going to preach on the Sabbath day. And I learned some things. I got some things pretty much settled in my mind. And no, we're not going to start going to church on Saturday. Okay? But there's some things that I forgot from the Bible that we're gonna bring back to remembrance. Okay? Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, for your love, your mercy. Lord Father, your forbearance with us. Lord, we're good Americans. We seem to have adopted the American way pretty well. But Lord, not everything that we do in this country is right. And Father, Lord, help us to see, God, that the politician that's promising us better times, better financial times, Lord, is probably not the one for us. Lord, I long to hear a politician say, America needs to pray. America needs to repent. And be genuine about it. And not these clowns, Lord, that are just lying to get voted on. Lord, I would that you would raise up a godly man that would lead this country into righteousness. Lord, blessed be the name of the Lord, and blessed be your word above all things. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Amen.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, God is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept His free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in His Word, and God has never broken His Word, God promised in His Word that He would forgive you and that He would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.